Marketing. Is it possible to be able to do it fractional? You sure can. Today, we meet Corey from Strategic Planning and Execution. He's going to show you how to save some money by getting a high-end CMO for a fraction of the cost. Can't wait to see you in there.
Welcome to the Dayton Approved Podcast with Frank O'Neill. This is where the local Dayton businesses get a spotlight.
Welcome to Dayton Approved, where we're exploring Dayton small businesses and nonprofits with Dayton Discount Furniture. How are you doing today, Corey?
Hey, Frank, we're doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Yeah, Corey is with Strategic Marketing and Execution is the name of his company. Sometimes it's called STX or...
STX MKT. It should be a shortness
for it. There we go. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you might see that too, but we're going to go with the long version today.
Legal name.
That's right. That's all right. We got to keep it legal. So yeah, tell us about, what does Strategic Marketing and Execution do? You know, tell us about a little bit of your, your mission statement.
Yeah. So Strategic Marketing and Execution is a fractional CMO provider for small businesses. So a lot of small businesses struggle with direction and strategy. They lead with execution with no direction. So we try to come and help and set the stage for what a plan looks like for the next year and quarterly strategies and then weekly cadence on how to manage that and execute well.
Okay. So basically you come up with a marketing plan. But you do, before you start to the marketing plan, you really kind of dig into the fundamentals of a business.
Oh, right? Yeah. Everything has to be tied to growth. Otherwise, what are we doing it for? And there's a lot of people out there that use vanity metrics. They use maybe impressions or clicks, you know, but they may not be directly tied to sales. And that can be, you know, a struggle for small businesses because, you know, those ultimately move the needle for the business owner, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I know that you go all the way down to even starting like what we just said here about, a mission statement. Sometimes companies need to really kind of grasp their concept on that.
Yep.
And then just kind of build from there, get everyone on the same page. And then, you know, we can all work together towards a common goal.
That's it, man. Internal execution on that is imperative, and getting that brand knocked out and understood by this, you know, the whole team. The, you know, leadership obviously drives that, but then the internal culture is going to be paramount to follow through on that too.
Right. So I know you touched on fractional CMO. We're going to talk a little bit more about what a fractional CMO is. I'd love to hear it from your point of view and perspective, since you are the fractional CMO guy. But before we get to that, let's talk about, you know, really your story. Let's talk about, how did you get into wanting to be an entrepreneur? How did you want to get into starting your own business? I know that you have been in the field for a little while. So why don't you just talk about your start in general?
Yeah. So I got into marketing about 10 years ago in corporate. If you're familiar, I got my start in Reynolds & Reynolds, an automotive marketing background. And really great training. Learned SEO. Paid search, you know, pay-per-click, if you will, social media, back-end websites. And so the training was phenomenal and really helped understand the execution side really well. And a lot of people understand one vertical as they get ramped up in marketing. And one of the things that has helped me throughout my career is the well-roundedness on a lot of the different pieces of what marketing brings, including email marketing and direct mail. And there's a lot of that that was incorporated. And then from there, jumped to an agency locally and also did some subcontracting, and then worked previous to COVID was with a fractional CMO firm that was remote. And then COVID hit and I stayed with them for a few years and then started my own business locally, just ready to be back in person, really made my jump. Like I say, there's no replacing a handshake and a smile,
right?
And creating in-person rapport, and so that's one of the big pieces of why I started my own business.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can imagine just sitting there and being behind the screen and not actually having that human interaction just wears on.
It's convenient, which is why people like are trying to go that route. You reduce the commute time, and I get that. There's a lot of efficiencies around that, but. The in-person piece and why I love being involved with the local community is, the in-person side.
Yeah, absolutely. And, why Dayton? I always ask people this, you could have gone anywhere. Why did you choose Dayton to start this this new operation at?
Yeah, I've got a lot of roots here.
Dayton local, Centerville.
Yeah, so, I grew up in Centerville. Yeah. Yeah, grew up in Centerville. Have a lot of family and still in Centerville and Kettering. We're located in Xenia now, and the whole area is just so. It's been growing. It's been going the right direction. There's a lot of great people here. And so it's hard to leave, with all the family we have. And so we love the parks. We're outdoorsy. We love to go to the different parks in the area. We have, great school systems here. We have great community, a lot of sports, a lot of good stuff going on around the area. So,
that's great. I mean, I'm also obviously a Dayton native as well. And I left for a year and then came back. I was in Savannah, Georgia, and it was that year that really made me have a found appreciation for Dayton. You almost kind of like don't realize what you got until you're missing it, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, I really love Savannah. I love Savannah. I love Savannah. And I'm like, why do I love Savannah? And the things that I loved about Savannah, what I learned was things that were similar to Dayton. And it's really interesting how I didn't realize that at the time, but as I go back and I look, that's what it was. So yeah, I mean, Dayton's just got it all, and that's what's really great. Yeah. But I do want to touch a little bit more about your story too. So, being an entrepreneur, wanting to be an entrepreneur, I think you said, you really didn't start it until a few years ago. Like basically when you were 31 is when you had that kind of aha moment where you were like, hey, I want to do this on my own. Why don't you talk about how you got to that point?
Yeah. Marketing, as a trade is, there's a lot of misplaced trust. And there's a lot of people that are willing to take advantage of small business owners. I've seen it, firsthand. I've seen it, through other companies I've worked alongside and seen the way they operate. And so one of the things that I realized if I started my own business was to be able to give those transparency pieces to small business owners and be able to just take away a lot of the additional costs that didn't make a lot of sense to me and pass along to, directly to other vendors I work with or, whatever it may be. And on the strategy side specifically, it was something to pass on to business owners and say, hey, if we work collaboratively on this, we're going to have a great, plan moving forward. Mm-hmm. You're bought in, I'm bought in. And then we can just, whether it's internal pieces or external pieces, we're going to bring in some vendors, we'll be able to make this work.
Yeah,
and not cost an arm and a leg, and be really frustrated on the back end of that. So that's the purpose behind it.
Yeah. So I mean, obviously, it's a strategy of it's ultimately a way a company can save money, and like the whole idea of hiring you in the first place is to save money, because if it wasn't about saving money, they would just hire a CMO, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where the whole concept of a fractional CMO comes into play.
That's right.
So why don't you tell everyone about what is a fractional CMO? That it's a relatively newer concept. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's super new, but it's a lot of listeners sure probably don't even know what a fractional CMO is. So why don't you talk about and describe that?
Yeah. So if you're not familiar, a CMO is a chief marketing officer, and fractional is a more or less part-time version of that. And not every small business, especially small businesses, think 2 to 10, 15, 20 mil a year, aren't looking to have a full-time CMO on staff that, the average salary, I think, is like 180 a year in salary. And again, from a need perspective, you need the strategy piece. You may not need the person on site every day, Monday through Friday, taking up that bandwidth when you're just not ready for that. It really depends on what stage you're at in your growth. And so fractional CMO can come in, help you build out the strategy, work alongside leadership team, the key stakeholders, and build that strategy out only to the needs of the business. You don't have to have all of the external resources or, really the financial, application of that, and still get a lot of the benefit of what a fractional CMO brings to the table that a CMO also does, without the full, resource allocation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's cool. So yeah, I mean, I know that I didn't really know what a fractional CMO was until basically I could learn from you.
Yeah. Awesome, so. Man. Yeah. And, like you said, they it's not been around forever. COVID probably accelerated it. I want to say, it's jumped 100% plus, in recent years. I think it might even be 1,000%. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was, but the LinkedIn, title around that has grown significantly for sure in the last couple of years.
So you're saying everyone's a fractional CMO now?
Unfortunately, it's misplaced a little bit. There's people out there that, are LinkedIn experts that call themselves fractional CMOs, and it's not completely accurate. I'm not calling anybody out, but you have to be aware that a fractional CMO has a pulse on every part of the marketing function. It's
right.
You know, all those different channels that we're working on, traditional and digital, you know, maybe that's TV, maybe it's, you know, mailers, maybe it's email marketing. All of those you have a pulse on, and you're, again, drawing up a strategy to how to execute upon that, especially with limited resources. Somebody who's just doing social media and strategy around social media is not a fractional CMO. They're a social media strategist, you know? Right. So it just really, there's nuance to it. And it can be a little bit misleading when people are misusing the title.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think, okay, this sounds cool. I could be a fractional CMO. Right. And then where's the checks and balances? They're never going to know. And then it's like,
and there's the mistrust in marketing.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And that's where it comes into play.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can see a lot of that going in. And a lot of people like the idea because, you know, flexibility comes into play. You know, they can kind of do what they want to do. And
well, you can be a great executionist and be somebody who is a social media strategist, maybe aptly named that. And you can be social media focused and have a great career doing social media as a service. There's no problem with that. I would just say just be careful not to, you know, conflate fractional CMO and strategy for all the entire marketing function and somebody who's vertical focused, right?
Right. And I think that a lot of people, I mean, I've discussed this before with other people about marketing firms in general. Like you said, that just trust. I think there's just a lot of them out there that like promise the world and then, you know, overpromise, underdeliver. Is probably the simplest way of saying it.
Yeah.
But
a lot of agencies is where I've seen it. There's a lot of overhead that's normally involved with that. And sometimes it's, you know, junior execution people who may not have competency. It's really common across the board. They hire them out of college because they're the low cost, you know, people that you can afford, and then have them churning through 20, 30 clients at a time. And so how can you really keep a really good pulse on what's going on what you're delivering? It's pretty tough. So yeah, a lot of overworked people in the junior marketing world for agencies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. It's disheartening because, like I was telling Sam, you know, I've gone probably through, and I've told you this too, I've probably gone through, you know, more marketing agencies than girlfriends in my life. You know, like it's just one of those things where, you know, it just takes a while to develop
it's
that
not
trust.
It's not uncommon. You know, there's a lot of small businesses that will hire marketing agencies for 3 to 6, 12 months at a time, and look at the end of the relationship and say, why would I renew when I don't see ROI on this? And it happens a lot. Mm-hmm. And so what do? Is they find another marketing agency that does the same thing. They promise the world, kind of over-promise, under-deliver, frustration sets in, and then same cycle, 12 months down the road, doing it again. And what else, what other choice do you have? You know, and hopefully you land on a good agency. There are good agencies out there. They're just few and far between.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I believe that completely. And I think the thing is like, it's always an evolving process too. You know, what you're doing the first month and looking at, you know, the 12th month of the year, in reality, you're going to be doing totally different things. And if you're not, then you're not doing anything.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to evolve. So I think that's going to happen. So it's just kind of one of those crazy evolving processes that you got to do and figure out like what's working, what doesn't work, because, you know, what works today is not going to work tomorrow. We know that.
It's a moving target,
unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, how your business, you know, contributes to the local community. I know you do a couple of different things. I know that you got, you know, a local team member and whatnot that you just hired not too long ago.
Yeah. So definitely love being focused on the local economy. It's why we do small business, you know, and we pour back into our local community and our state and, you know, all the way up to our federal government. And so on the local side, I've got a local team member. Love working with her. She's great. Her name's Sarah. Really a catch-all.
I kind of Sarah.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And she's just incredible. And then, work with a local nonprofit. They're called
Better Not Be the Same Sarah.
Not the same Sarah. So the local nonprofit I help serve with is called Jesus Loves You Ball. Really cool. They're located at Athletes in Action in Xenia, which is another great organization, and really appreciate what they do over there. And so just being able to give back with my marketing talent to them, and you know, it's a lot of fun too. And if you've not heard of Jesus Loves You Ball, they provide soccer balls and volleyballs and basketballs that have Jesus loves you written on it in 71 different languages on each ball. It's really cool.
A soccer ball.
Yep. That's really
Jesus. Where's my soccer ball, bro?
Yeah, I got you. I really will.
All right. Because otherwise I don't know if Jesus loves me.
He will. That's right. And then, in addition to that, we've got, church, our local church. Yeah. We're part of a local small church that is growing and doing really great things. And so, pour back in with, thankfully starting my own business has allowed me flexibility in my calendar and really consistency in my calendar that I used to not have to serve with our local church and do men's group and mm-hmm. be a part of what's going on there. So
that's important. I love that you're a part of a men's group. I think there's a lot of people that are, I think it kind of gets overlooked into today's society. Us men have, we need to talk too. We need to figure it out because there's a lot of things changing in this world. And, really, what is it to be a man in today's world compared to being a man, 20 years ago even?
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think the society kind of skips that step. And I feel terrible for the young men growing up in today's world. I look at 5, 6, 7-year-old kids. I'm like, what is it going to be? What's it going to be like for them?
Yeah.
How is it that they're going to be able to know how to be a man? How are we going to be able to teach them to, do these survival skills essentially?
Yeah. There's a lot behind that.
It's really an interesting concept and deep thing to talk about.
A lot of anxiety, a lot of depression, mm-hmm. Obviously men have a significant suicide rate, in comparison to women and to your point, I think it's important that we do talk about it. We learn how to.
I think so many people get hung up on this, the white guy, the white man, whatever. That's like the general idea, right? Had it easy for whatever, so we don't need to worry about it. Well, that's not true. We need to worry about everyone.
Yeah, we do need to worry about everyone.
We need to talk about everyone, and everyone needs to, everyone's going through it.
Yeah.
When has it ever been like, everyone's going through it, but this person? Yeah. Or that person. That's never the case.
Sure. And there's obviously marginalized communities that, they don't see color, but at the same time, your more marginalized demographics do struggle, right. at a higher rate for sure. And I think that's one of the great things that I appreciate about church is we open arms to anybody and everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't discriminate.
And then we, can navigate what tools can help you, get through mental depressions, through down times in your mental health and what do you struggle with and why? And then, uncover let's move forward. And so that there's definitely a piece to that, that allows for us to grow. And hopefully, the next generation is going to learn from men who,
that's the goal.
That's the idea. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah.
There's hope there,
Yeah. There's hope. I'm just saying, I think it should be talked about more often. So when I heard you say that, I was like, oh, we got to let people know.
Got to.
So anyway.
No, it's good. It's good.
Anyway, let's talk about get back to business, right? Let's talk about, some of the things that sets your business apart from other businesses in the area, or maybe not necessarily in the area, but just in general.
Sure. So we've kind of touched base a little bit on agencies already. And what the Fractional CMO, has a focus on is working with leadership specifically, more so than just working on the execution piece. And so it's important for us to differentiate a little bit between those because a lot of people think marketing, they think, agency and marketing department. And it's important to note that, that's a key piece. And I don't know if there's other Fractional CMOs in the Dayton area. I'm not seeing a lot really specifically to our locale. There are some in Cincinnati and Columbus, but for me, having the, I don't want to say the first opportunity as a fractional CMO in the local area, but definitely am trying to serve, the local community really well. Yeah.
So that's nice. I mean, so basically, you're not saying there aren't any of them out there in Dayton, but, the only other ones that are probably in Cincinnati, Columbus. Mm-hmm. That's probably the closest around. So it seems like a good opportunity for you then, your family, obviously.
Yeah. And I really like I haven't really touched on this yet either, but the framework I operate in is, if you're familiar, there's a book called Traction and it's about EOS. And so, that's my framework for building out an annual strategy, quarterly strategies inside of that, and then that weekly cadence. And that really helps with accountability and making sure we're staying on task and staying focused on what we're doing from a quarterly project standpoint and our quarterly objectives. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So I know some of the other things too, you said, you know, it's really truly, you know, with the whole idea of fractional CMO, it's about, you know, the budget and saving money. So one of the things that you refuse to do is basically white label services and pass them on. Why don't you talk about what white labeling services is? Because I think some people don't know.
Yeah. So again, common practice in the agency world, but also even in the fractional CMO world, I see it quite a bit too, is people will just take another business and offer their services and not let, you know, their clients know that they're using another vendor directly to execute on that. And then they're upcharging on that, you know, they're adding margin on that. And then they're taking a cut on that. And so philosophically, I just think that we should pass through. I think that a client should be billed directly by a vendor, let their vendors, you know, do a great job for them. And guess what? That's cost savings to a local business.
Right.
And you know, and if there's margin for me to grow, I just think that's a little bit more, I get compensated fairly. You know, hopefully you feel more value from me than you do for the compensation that you're paying me. And then that covers all of my internal basis, and then let these businesses work directly with them. So there's no white label. It's full transparency. There's no misplaced trust, and there's no frustration around cost, because right. ultimately you'll price out, you know, competitive pricing if you're upselling somebody else's price, right? Hopefully they're charging market value.
Yeah, no, I mean, you said transparency, and that's what I was going to hit on. Like, you know, transparency is definitely something that's huge that you do. You know, that's how you build that trust, especially with, you know, with growing your relationship in the marketing world, I guess, in general, or even with other business owners.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, no, that's awesome. And, you know, one of the things too is, like, you truly do want to know what's the best fit, you know, what's going to make sense.
Yeah.
You're not going to shove something down someone's throat that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, of course not. And I think, you know, that's another piece of, like, the fractional CMO world that allows for a little bit of flexibility for business owners, is a lot of times small businesses have limited resources. So right. they have to use maybe a couple of vendors or one internal person to execute on a few channels instead of every channel, because a lot of people are sold, like, you should be everywhere. You should be on Facebook, mm-hmm. TikTok, Twitter, you know, YouTube, you name it. And a lot of times if you're doing that, it's a lot of resources that have to pour into making sure those channels are successful. A lot of times we don't have resources for all those different channels. So which ones are we going to choose that are going to be highest return for our investment and actually align with our strategy? Where is our target market at, and how are we going to put our message out to them right. on those channels? Right.
Yeah. I mean, we don't got to be everywhere. We just got to be a lot, or not a lot, but present somewhere.
Yeah. You know, that's right. Especially where our target market is. Right.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Cause you know, you want to be in front of that window.
Yep.
You know, it's just like the old window shopper is what I tell people, like, you know, products I would have, you know, if I just had the right window to show, you know, I actually started when I was a younger man, even though I'm not even that old, but when I was a young man, I also had a dream of this thing called a dorm topper. Now, people are like, what the heck is a dorm topper? Well, if you know anything about dorm room mattresses, they're basically like these rubber vinyl mattresses. I remember in the wintertime, I saw my fellow college people using these mattresses as sleds, you know, going down the hill, because they're waterproof. So they're great for durability. They're great for, you know, having the hose off for the next set of college kids for the next year, because God only knows, you know, it's a college mattress, but they're not really comfortable.
Hmm.
So my idea was, like, what if I could build this thing that put over the mattress, and on top of it's like, you know, it's like basically a memory foam pad, but it looks just like a mattress. Like, it's the Ticking, which is just a fancy name for mattress top. It looks just like a mattress. You just slide this sucker on it and it would look like a real high-end mattress, and more importantly, feel like one.
Mm.
Developed these things, got them developed, went to a mattress factory, got them all done, got 100 of them done, and I got a good deal on them. And retail we needed to sell them for was $99, which is cheap. Didn't have the right window. Did not have the right window. Where was I going to sell these? How was I going to sell these? How am I going to get $100 from a college kid? No, I need to get their parents. So, like, it was just a great idea. Great concept. Created this project product out of nowhere. But and who knows? Maybe we'll take off still. Maybe someone will listen here.
Somebody's gonna listen to us.
I need that dorm topper. I still have 20 in my basement, so we can go ahead and mail them to you if you're interested. But no, they're awesome. They're awesome. So
that's interesting.
Twin XL, by the way, they're a little bit longer than normal twin, so it's not like some. It's very you know, irregular size. So you know, you can't just get this, you know, at Walmart. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it back up.
That yeah, maybe you set up a 10x10 at a college move-in day. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did do that. That didn't work.
Mm.
I could do that now, but those would be, you know, different reasons. Yeah. Just be back on campus. I just want back, maybe. Just get me back. I need to feel the college energy.
Van Wilder. Yeah.
Exactly. But no, I mean, that's just an example, though, of not having the right window, not showing to the right audience. Sure. And that's what's interesting about social media. So now it's a digital form of that. It's getting to the right people. How do we get our product to the right person? Because at the end of the day, if I'm, you know, looking for sardines, I'm going to find sardines. But if I'm not, why is sardines coming up on my Facebook feed?
Sure.
I don't want them. I don't like sardines. I hate sardines. So it's a total waste of time. Total waste of time. So getting to the right audience is very, very important. And that's what's cool about
surely
what you do.
Surely. Yeah.
That's the strategic marketing.
That's it. That's part. It. Gotta do it.
So yes, that brings us to the next point, which is, you know, some recent successes you've had, some milestones you possibly hit. So why don't you tell us about, you know, growth. You've had some success and growth from year on, year on, year on.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's been a lot of growth, thankfully. Super blessed. And you know, so yeah, 100%, you know, year over year, since I've started the business, which was a big launching point for me, was mm-hmm. just having an understanding of what I was going to do from a service perspective. And the high retention rate actually is another huge, huge thing to call out, is almost, I would say, upper 90s in the percentage of retention month over month. Just a lot of, again, hopefully providing the value that's being felt by clients, being higher than the compensation, and knowing what the market is out there for fractional CMOs, they're expensive. They can be. Mm-hmm. And so I like to think I'm on the lower end of that. Just again, you know, making a fair wage and providing good service. And yeah. So I'm feeling really good about just the trajectory of this business and where we're going.
That's good. That's great. Now, some of the other things you've had is, you know, obviously gaining that team member was important. So that's a nice add on to the team.
Absolutely.
What about future? Are you looking to add more? Do you think, well, what's the max you'd like to add?
Yeah. And ultimately it's a tough place to play, because, adding people, in this, it's a fluctuation point where mm-hmm. between, somebody who's been in marketing as an execution person and then understanding the strategy side, and being able to have their pulse on all branches of the marketing efforts across the board, that we, you know, would add the right people.
Right.
It's slow and methodical. You know, we're not trying to have hyper growth. I'm not trying to become like the next Alex Hormozzi, like, you know, growing insane amounts of money.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to build an empire. I just want to build a great business that provides for small families, across, you know, our local area and then, you know, wherever else they might be. And, you know, giving back as much as it can be through, you know, continued intentional growth.
Yeah. So what, you know, what are you thinking then, like, as far as like a number wise, if you had to quantify it, would you say 5 is probably where you're comfortable at? I mean, obviously it could change over time, but
yeah,
I'm sure you have an idea in your mind where
I would say my vision would be, you know, somewhere in the 10 to 20 range, yeah. You know, in the next 5 to 10 years, if it continues to, you know, handle
that's,
this,
that's
know.
Some growth you're looking at.
I like it. You know, I hope it'd be good. But we'll see what the future has in the, you know, cards are in play. So,
okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that. That's nice. That's aggressive. And that's what we like to hear.
Like it.
Now, another thing that you said is you've got a business coach that you've been working with, and you have seen wonderful benefits from that. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, and I think this kind of goes for all small businesses. Having mm-hmm. a coach is important. It's so great for intentional accountability internally. It's so important for your own strategy. You should have a strategy for your own business. If you're a small business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, if you don't have a strategy that you're being held accountable to and right. being with, you know, having those – you know, coming out of the weeds, strategic conversations is you must have them to move forward and stay focused on what your goals are. So
right.
that's where, you know, the coaching side is imperative for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I it's true. I completely understand that. So
yeah,
it's, you can easily get off track. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. You easily get off track. So
yeah, I'm also in a peer advisory group locally as well. Mm. And we have a handful of folks in that are, you know, growing small operation businesses that are more like the solopreneur, entrepreneur world that we live in, and working through struggles together, you know, and banking on each other. And again, the same thing is like those monthly conversations of high level, like what's struggling, what's working, why is it that happening, and working through those together is really beneficial as well.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, having that peer feedback is good. It's why I like having a lot of friends, because I got a lot of different perspectives. A lot of times people, I think, seek what they're looking for. Like, there's a lot of people will seek their answer. So it's like, I did this in this situation. Do you think this is right? And then people are like, yeah. You know, friends are like, yeah, you did it right or whatever. I'm looking for the guy that's like, actually, no, you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that person to sit there and be my friend. And
honest
say,
feedback is as valuable as anything, right? Yeah.
But I notice in life there's a lot of people that will just sit there and tell you what you want to hear. And it's like, I don't want that.
Yeah, there's a lot of yes men out there.
There's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't tell people what they want to hear. And I just want the basic respect of doing the same for me.
Sure.
Yeah. I know it can be a hard conversation. It can be not a fun conversation, but it's an honest and real conversation, and that, in my opinion, trumps anything. So
I like it.
You know,
it's good.
So yeah, I mean, it's great that you had some of those successes, which is you know, phenomenal. But you know, let's talk about some challenges. Let's switch it up a little bit and talk about like some things that has made it a little tough. You know, just to do business in general. I know you were saying that, you know, Dayton's got an interesting stigma compared to Cincinnati and Columbus. Why don't you describe to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, even growing up in this area for a long time, but even more so accentuated by being an entrepreneur and working in the area. You know, Cincinnati and Columbus have these like, you know, more historical, like growth oriented and up and coming, you know, cities that have been around for a little bit longer than Dayton. And Dayton's been around for a long time. It really hasn't been outlived by them as much as there is a lot of growth, a lot of positive and great growth going on in Dayton. And so with that, sometimes people think that things should be cheaper in Dayton, mm-hmm. you know, and while there might be a slight truth to that. I don't know about our cost of living in comparison to Cincinnati and Dayton in Columbus, but it's comparable, and everything is mm-hmm. across the board is comparable. I would say from you know, whether you're trying to work in Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, fair wages are fair wages, and I think that's kind of the market is even more national, especially with the remote digital world we live in.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of living in Dayton, I can tell you, is definitely different. It is lower. So I lived in Columbus. I went to the Ohio State, and I could tell you everything is a little bit more. Significantly more? No, not really, but it is a little bit more. But as far as like business services, I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about like basic like groceries,
sure.
stuff like that. So, and maybe even rent. But as far as like, you know,
our supply chain's gone overseas. You know, a lot of people are hiring executive assistants overseas.
Yeah.
You know, some things are you can't change, like from a commerce standpoint of like the day-to-day in-person stuff, like, you know, what we have going on here in the United States. But you know, across the board, I think we're pretty fair. You know, in our commerce world that we live in, and that kind of goes from city to city, and again, even across the country. Like, granted, if you're going to be in LA, it's going to be more expensive. Like, the cost mm-hmm. of living there is insane. But that's why LA businesses who still work with other LA businesses are, you know, paying a little bit more for those services.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's very true. I mean, the whole idea is, like, how can I get that LA wage and come to Dayton, Ohio and
sure.
live like a king, right? And that's what it comes down to, is Dayton does have a very low cost of living in general. And I feel that stigma even in my own business, where people are like, okay, well, you know, we're in Dayton, so it should be cheaper. Well, I mean, you know, I sell couches, so
the quality, couch quality here, is quality.
Yeah, the couch made in Dayton is the same couch made in that's being sold in Columbus. Sure. Like, why would it be cheaper?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
So it's just interesting how people have that kind of perception and whatnot
yeah.
into play. So let's talk about, you know, what's going on with you and other businesses. Like, how are you collaborating with other local businesses or charities that are, you know, helping benefit the local economy?
Yeah, so I think my favorite event to go to on a monthly basis for networking is it's called Beers and Biz. It's in yeah. It's in Mason, Ohio, and so yeah, what they end up doing is they've located to Warped Wing, and so they do some seminars for like professional development, and then also then there's a big networking piece to it, and they also do a nonprofit spotlight that's normally a local business, local organization, and so much positivity comes out of that. And, you know, whether it's relationships or whether it's, you know, wanting to donate to the nonprofit or support them in some other way, really a lot of really cool things going on there.
Yeah, so that sounds cool, and thanks for the invite, by the way. You know, I'm glad that I'm hearing about this for the first time.
There's an open invite, so I'm happy to send you the info. Yeah, Beers and Biz in Mason, Ohio.
Beers and Biz.
That's good stuff. A lot of cool businesses down there.
That's cool, yeah. So I definitely will have to check it out because, again, the first time I'm hearing about it. Hopefully other people, too, you know, they'll be able to check it out, too.
Love it.
Now, I know that also you said you have dabbled a little bit with the Dayton Chamber as well.
Yeah. Dayton Chamber puts on great events, obviously working with a lot of our local politicians, our local businesses in Dayton area. And you know, I've gone to some Dayton Dragons games and networked there and a lot of good stuff that they do across the board, just, you know, supporting a lot of the recovery of our, you know, of our businesses that have shut down over the years and how to repurpose buildings. And like, you know, the Dayton Arcade has been an awesome thing to see come up. And so, you know, love what Dayton Chamber's doing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, what, you know, what projects do you got going on? What things do you have coming up, you know, in the old, I guess you could say, I don't even know what the old saying is. What do you got hidden in your pocket? You know what I mean?
What am I cooking up over here?
Yeah, what are you cooking up in the back?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think is important to note is, you know, I have a huge focus in the marketing world, but I have seen that a lot of small businesses run in chaotic spheres. Business owners are visionaries by nature. They have a vision for their business. A lot of times they struggle with taking their vision and putting it into practice. And so what that looks like is, you know, coaching. It's getting them involved with the right people at the right time. And that can be through coaching. It can be, hey, like there's a lot of opportunities out there with, you know, chief operating officers or whatever it may be. And so leadership coaching, management coaching in general is something that's on my radar as I get exposed to more businesses that seem to struggle with navigating the waters of having hard conversations, like you mentioned, when it comes to, you know, inner leadership conversations and how do we navigate like tough times? How are we getting through things? So, there's this coaching and speaking engagement, you know, side of things that's kind of bubbling up right now, and, it's not come to fruition, but, we're working on it. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's good. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere.
So, you know, just getting the ideas going and, you know, things start churning. That's cool because, who knows what it may lead into something totally different.
Could be fun.
But, there's always room for improvement and there's always room to kind of figure that piece out.
Yeah.
So that's cool. That is exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that turns into.
Appreciate you.
Yes. Well, I mean, that pretty much wraps us up unless you got something else you want to say about CMO. Is there any other, anything that you think people need to know about CMO stuff, like, or being a fractional CMO? Is there anything that you think that you kind of want to let people know about before we wrap up the show?
Yeah. So, just real quick on the CMO side is, just to bring a little more clarity to that is it is strategy focused. And so a learning lesson I had recently with a client was not understanding that, you know, fractional CMO does bring the strategy first. And execution does come, through whether it's hiring other vendors or hiring, internal resources. You know, it could be interns, it can be full-time employees, it can be part-time employees. It's really important to note that and make sure that expectation is laid out well. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes people think like, oh, you're going to come in and do the marketing, and it's just a misunderstood, concept. So that's something I want to definitely clear the air in. And then,
So basically what you're saying is this is the strategy. This is the game plan that we're writing up. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to come in and, you know, make a post on Facebook.
Sure.
Today, I guess
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Like you're going to say, hey, you need to do Facebook posts every day. Okay. Well, this is how you can set up someone internally to do it, or you can hire a firm to do it.
Yeah.
you know, these are going to be your...
Or we may already
we
have
run the cost analysis on it.
And we may already have the internal piece that's just not doing it with direction, right?
Right.
That happens sometimes too. And then to your other point, you know, is maybe what our why is, you know? And so that's kind of one of the things I would love to touch on.
Before we get to that, let's talk about how do we get a hold of you? What's the best way to get a hold of, you know, of Corey and, you know, strategic marketing? Let's just say folks want to get involved.
Yeah, if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on LinkedIn. I'm Corey J. Swan, two N's on that, and C-O-R-E-Y for my first name.
I did check out his LinkedIn, and I'm telling you, this guy is a beast on LinkedIn.
I appreciate you.
He's a beast.
I'm coming. and then also, you know, we have a website, stxmkt.com. It's the short abbreviated version of the business name. And so you can get some resources there, see my other podcasts that I've been on, and hear more about what a fractional CMO is and kind of what we're doing out there. So learn more about our values as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then is there a phone number that's good to call or work number?
937-321-4111. That'll get right to me. You can text or call.
There you go. I like that. Putting it out there.
I put it out there.
The direct link, baby.
Right. That's right.
So yeah, why don't you go ahead and send us off with you know, just some words of encouragement here.
Yeah, so I do think it's important for all people, whether you're an employee, an employer, entrepreneur, but if you are an entrepreneur specifically, is to know your why. And so knowing your why is just an imperative piece to waking up every day. Like, what passion are you chasing? What are you doing it for? It could be your faith. It could be your family. It could be you know, something as, I don't want to get too greedy here and say like as for money, you know, I would hopefully have a deeper calling than that. But there are people that do it for that reason. And so when it comes to understanding your why, get your values written down on a piece of paper, find the people that are going to get behind you on that. If it's team members, if it's contractors, whatever it may be, and build out a business plan, and there's your why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there it is, folks. You know, the guy that does strategic marketing, strategically telling you how to do your why.
Mm-hmm.
How beautiful is that?
It's a big deal.
It really is. And no, I appreciate that because I'm hoping that somebody will hear that and that's going to hopefully change someone's life.
I appreciate
it,
Frank.
I really believe that. I really truly do. Well, appreciate you being on the show. Thank you for coming out. And, you know, I love you. I personally use you here. So, you know, I can't complain.
Yeah, but, Frank, I'm glad to hear that. Appreciate you.
So, well, thanks for being on the show. And until next time.
Hopefully I'm dating approved.
That's right.
Subscribe and follow to our Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to sign up for our email list and receive an email to watch the show every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Do you know a great Dayton business that you would like to see on the show? Visit our website at daytonapproved.com and click on the contact tab and tell us who you'd like to see.